Today, Shiz Masechta Kedushin Daf Chaf. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top. In our previous year, we had a discussion about selling a Amma Avriya to whom one is allowed to sell an Amma Avriya. Says the Gemara, Tani Chada, one Braisa teaches us that a father could sell his daughter L'Aviv, even though he's a grandfather of the Amma Avriya, and since he's a grandfather of the Amma Avriya, he obviously may not marry her. He can't do yid. V'tanya idach, and ve'im marchel b'noi, but he can't sell the Amma Avriya to his son, who is a brother of the Amma Avriya. V'tanya idach, there's a second brace that says, ein marchel loy lover v'loy l'b'noi, she may not be sold, not to an individual who is her grandfather, or the father of the seller, nor may she be sold to her brother. So says the Gemara, that she may not be sold not to the seller's father or son, that's following the opinion of the Rabbanan, that you could only sell a woman to be an Amma Avriya if yiud is an option. Here, where yield will not be an option, the halacha is that one cannot sell such an individual for an Amma Avriya. Ella, the brisa, the first brisa that we learned, the Michael of Avena Michael of Benoi, that she could be sold to the grandfather, but not to her brother, Kaman. It doesn't represent the opinion of Rabbanan, who say that you can never sell an Amma Avriya to an individual who is related to her. The like Rabbi Lezer, who says you can always sell it to a relative. Because the first brisa differentiates selling her to a grandfather or selling her to a brother. Says the Gemara, Loilam Rabbanan. It follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. However, Moi the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Lezer, Hechadeket Sa'ad Yid. Where there will be a situation of Yid being passable, therefore Yid can take place. And that is because even though a grandfather obviously cannot do yiud, one may not marry their granddaughter, but an uncle can marry a niece. So we know, as the Torah keeps on speaking about the parish of yiud, the halach of yiud is that either you yourself do yiud, the new owner does yiud, or his son does yiud. The son of the grandfather is this girl's uncle. You're allowed to marry an uncle. So even though he can't do yiud, since his son could do yiud, that's enough where it could take place. But she cannot be sold to her brother, because of course a woman can't marry her brother, nor could she marry her brother's son that she's an aunt to. And therefore, she could be, the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Lezer, as long as there's a possibility of yiud, we allow yiud. But if there's no possibility for yiud to take place, that's where they say the sale would be totally invalid. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, the Torah, when it speaks about it, Eved Ivri says, Begapa Yovai Begapa Yetzei. Says the Gemara, Begufa Nechnes Begufa Yetzei. And of course, the Gemara immediately is going to try to explain to us what does that mean. Begufay nichnes, begufay yetzay. Rabbi Lezer Yaakov Aymer, yechidi nichnes, yechidi yetzay. If he comes in alone, he goes out alone. So says the Gemara. We can understand, ask them, what does begufay nichnes, begufay yetzay mean? How do we understand that statement, begufay nichnes, begufay yetzay? Amar Rava. Says Rabbi, what the Torah is trying to teach us is loimish any yotze b'roshei avarim. We know that the halacha is that if an owner of an eved kanani caused that the eved kanani should be wounded in one of the chafdal roshei avarim and one of the 24 roshei avarim, that's a reason for the eved to go out. By an eved ivri, that halacha doesn't apply. And as Tosfos explains, we would immediately assume that an Evri should not be any worse than Eved Kanani. And if an Eved Kanani goes out this way, an Eved Ivri should certainly leave that way. That's why the Torah had to say that this halacha that does not apply by an Eved Ivri. And the question that I saw, of course, that the Mefarshim tried to understand, why indeed is that the halacha? Why shouldn't the halacha be that just like an Eved Kanani goes out with Rashi Avorim, the same halacha ought to apply by an Eved Kanani? So Reb Chaim says that this is really not to the detriment of the Eved Ivri, it's for the benefit of the Eved Ivri. Because when the owner wounds one of the Rashi Avorim, 24 Rashi Avorim of this Eved, he has to pay for that damage. And therefore the Torah is saying that by an Eved Kanani, all the Eved Kanani will get is that he is freed, but he doesn't get any monetary compensation for the terrible damage that has been done to him. Whereas by an Eved Ivri, he gets paid and he will ultimately go out anyway with the various ways that we've been learning, and that's why it's considered better. Amar Abaya, so says Abaya, that to teach us that halacha, the Torah tells us explicitly that Eved Ivri doesn't go out like an Eved Kanani. Why do I need this limur of begufay? Answers the Gemara. Imi hasam, says the Gemara, if I only had that pasuk, I would assume, have a mina nesle demei enei, the owner has to pay him for the damage done to him, and for nepuk, he should go out. Says the Gemara, that is what the pasuk that we began today's shiur, began this piece of Gemara with here to teach us, kamash malon, that he goes out, kamash malon, that he gets paid for the damage done to him, as we just explained. But even though he gets paid as the damage was done to him, he still doesn't go out free. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Amar, he had a different explanation of pasuk. He explained that the pasuk means yichidei nichnes, yichidei yetzei. What does that mean? My yichidei yetzei. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak Hachi Kamer. Yesh lo ish habanim, if he has a wife and children, Rabbi Moshe Shifcha Kananis, then his owner can give him a Shifcha Kananis to live with. Ain't like against his will. But I saw that the Rishonim point out that this halacha that we're learning now, that he's entitled to marry a Shifcha Kananis if he doesn't have a wife, if he has a wife, is only that the owner could force him. And ain't like Yishabonim, ain't Rabbi Moshe Shifcha Kananis. And again, many Rishonim, the Meiri says, that means he can't be forced to marry her. But if he's willing to marry her, he may marry her even though he doesn't have a wife. And the Chizkuni explains, why is this the halacha? That if he has a wife, that he can marry Shifcha Kananis. And if he doesn't have a wife, he shouldn't marry Shifcha Kananis. We probably would say just the opposite. If he has a wife, so then he should stay with his wife, not get another wife. So the Chizkuni says, we're most interested that he should leave after 6 years. So if he has wife and children at home, then he's going to likely want to leave after the 6 years. But if he doesn't have a wife and children at home, and now his owner gives him the Shifcha Kananis, there's a real concern that after the 6 years, he's going to want to stay there because that's where he has a wife and children. In order to avoid that, the Torah says, if he doesn't have a wife and children, don't give him. The Levush Ayri gives a different shot. If he has a Jewish wife, so then he's fulfilling the mitzvah per rivia with his Jewish wife. And therefore, we don't care if he marries a shifcha. But if he doesn't have a Jewish wife, he may be satisfied just with this shifcha. And if he's just satisfied with this shifcha, there's a real concern that he's not going to look for a Jewish wife. And without a Jewish wife, he will have not fulfilled the mitzvah per rivia. The Gur Arya gives a different shot. If he has a Jewish wife, he realizes that his real peer, his real person whom he's supposed to spend life with is his Jewish wife. If he doesn't have a Jewish wife, he may become very connected to that non-Jewish wife, and that's not the person who a Jew should be spending his life with. The Mishnah Melech asked the following question. What happens if, as this Eved Ivri was sold to this Jewish owner, he had a wife, and before his owner could give him a Shifcha Kananis, his wife passed away. So do we look at the moment of the sale? And since at the moment of the sale, the owner was entitled to give him a Shifcha, that remains? Or do we look at his marital status? And the same thing, he says, the other way around. Let's say at the time of the sale, he did not have a Jewish wife. But later on, he married a Jewish woman. Will at that point, the halacha be that he could marry Shifcha Kananis? Because now, in reality, he has a Jewish wife. So the Imre Emes asks a question. The pasuk says, Heisha v'yoladeo til adonao v'ku yetze begapoi. So the question is, if he has a wife and children at home, why is he considered, asked the Emirates, as if he's going out begapoi? He's not going out begapoi. He's going out, he has that family. So the Sfas Emes answers that, in answer to the question that we just posed for the Mishnah Melech, that the case is speaking about that he married a Jewish woman after he was sold for an Eved. That in that case, the halacha is that even though we're going to learn in our shiur today that the owner has to support his family, but if he only married her afterwards, the owner wouldn't have to support her. And that's the case that the gapoy, he goes out, but but his wife and children, since they weren't there at the time of him becoming an Eved, that's why the halacha is that begapoy, his owner, doesn't have an obligation to that family. Says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Nimka b'manam. If the Eved was sold for a mona. And we've spoken many times in our shiurim that one of the ways an Eved goes out is with the geroyin kesef. And we've explained that the definition of geroyin kesef is that we deduct what he was sold for. We always use the example, that's not the example the Gemara is going to use, but the example we always use is that he was sold for $60 for 6 years, $10 a year. But the Gemara now discusses what happens if his value goes up or down. Nimka b'mana, at the time of the sale, he was worth a mana, v'shbiach, and he went up in value. V'amen al-Masayim, now he's worth 200. He was sold for 100, but now he's worth 200. Menayim, how do we know that when we make this calculation, she'mechashvim lo el mana, that we consider him only worth a mana in order to do giroin kesef? We always use the value he had at the time of the sale. But now it continues the price. So what about the reverse situation? Nimka b'masayim, he was sold for $200. V'hichsach, however, he went down in value. V'amanam mona, he's only worth now 100. Menayin she'e mechashvim le'el mona. How do we know that we, now when we make the calculation, the halacha is that we use the current lower value, tal meloimer kafi shonov. We lose the current value. Only ever had nimkalev kachavim. Continues the brisa that this halacha maybe only applies when he was sold to nevi kachavim. Since we see that the Torah is anxious to get him out of his situation, as we see, says the brisa, however nimka b'krovim. The Torah gives the obligation on relatives to try to free him. That's why Yad al Tachtonai, the owner's position is weak. However, Nimkal Yisrael, Menalon, how do we know that the same halacha is that even if he was sold to a Yisrael, we always try to do what's best for the Eved? Tamaloymer, that says the Gemara, there's a Gzer Shava, Sacha Sacha Gzer Shava, which connects the halacha of an Eved Ivri who was sold to Yisrael to Eved Ivri that was sold to Nakam. Amar ben Abaya. So says Abaya. Abaya makes the following statement: Hareni keben Azai b'shuka tfelya. Rashi explains when Abaya was in a good mood, he said he's able to answer any questions posed to him, just like Ben Azai, who was very sharp and able to answer any questions that were posed to him. When he was in the marketplace of Tveria, he was saying that he is in that category. And the explanation is because the Gemara Masechet Erevin says that Ben Azai, who was the preeminent Talmud Chacham in his time, would give shiurim the Shuki for Tveria, and nobody was equal to him in his stature of being a Talmud Chacham. So I saw that the Sefer Be'er Sheva explains this Gemara, that when Abaya, what's pshat in Abaya using this kind of language? Because nobody in his time was as great as he was. Even though in the time of Ben Azai, the Gemara Masechet Bechoros Daf Nun Ches says that everybody else was compared to him keklipas hashom, that he was just like everybody else was just like the peel of a garlic. But Abaya wanted to say that Ben Azai was saying that he's greater in sharpness. He says that I am able to answer all questions. And he was meant to say is that's the real mark of a leader in Klal Yisrael who's able to answer the questions of Klal Yisrael. Amalai ha'um rabbonim. So says the Gemara. So since Abaye was saying I can answer any question, one of the rabbonim approached him and they said, Michti, let's understand. Hani kroy, that the psukim that we just quoted in the Brisa, ikalim d'shina l'kula, we could explain them l'kula for the benefit of the Eved. V'ikalim d'shina l'chumra, we could say them that we should be strict on the Eved. So ask the Gemara, why are we taking the more lenient approach, the favorable approach to the Eved? Why not? Why don't we take the other approach? So Abai said, since we find that the Torah was particularly nice to the Eved Ivri, the Tanya, the Pasuk says, when regarding an Eved Ivri, what does Kitoiv Lai Imach mean? Imach v'machal, imach v'meshta, you give him to eat, you give him to drink. Shleyata oichel pas nakiya, you shouldn't be eating high quality bread. V'oichel pas kibron, he's eating low quality bread. Ata shoysu yayin yoshin, you're drinking high quality wine. V'ushoysu yayin chadosh, and he's drinking low quality wine. Ata yosha aga b'muchim, you sleep on a mattress. V'uyosha aga b'tevin, he's sleeping on straw. Mekan amru, says the Gemara, from here we learn, if somebody has an Eved Ivri, he really has bought himself an owner. Says, so there's a fantastic story. The story goes that when at the beginning, as at Yisrael, as the Medina was established, there were many refugees that were coming to the coming to Eretz Yisrael. And many of them, or there were a certain group, that came to the Panovichi Yeshiva. But at that time, the poverty in Eretz Yisrael was quite significant. And not only was the poverty in Eretz Yisrael quite significant, what really was happening was there was a lack, there was a shortage of basic needs, pillows, linen. And the Panovich Rav had taken in many of these refugees, these boys, into his yeshiva. And the Panovich Rav made an announcement, he let them make an announcement, Panovich Yeshiva, we know as a Bnei Brak, that on Shabbos, he's going to make a big drasha, and he would like the members of the community of Bnei Brak, he's going to make the drasha in the main shul of Bnei Brak, to all come. And he got up, the Panovich Rav, and he quoted our Gemara. And he asked the Gemara, in Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Beizom and Aleph, teaches us, V'chei Ochicha Imach, yes, we're supposed to support other Jews, but the halacha is Chayecha Kaidman. We have to take care of ourselves first. So why is the halacha, and actually all the Rishonim Tosfos all explain, that the halacha here is, that you have to, if you only have one glass of water, you should give it to the Eved Kanani, the Eved Ivri, based on what we just learned. Why over here do we not have the rule of Chayecha Koydmin? You have to take care of yourself first. So he said, because an owner, what the Gemara is teaching us, is an owner should not be able to sleep at night when he knows his Eved Ivri doesn't have a pillow. So if his Eved Ivri doesn't have a pillow, how could I sleep? He said, there are going to be Jewish children who went through the atrocities of war, who are coming to live in our community. How could anyone here sleep on their pillow, with their blanket, on their linen, when they will know that those children don't have the place to sleep? And therefore, he said, you all, and the story goes, I saw that Motzei Shabbos, the people of Bnei Barak came and brought to the Potovich Yeshiva blankets and pillows, more than enough, because owner, Kitoiv Le'imach, was supposed to feel how much we have to feel for our brothers. I saw that the Pasuk says that Avraham Avinu calls Eliezer Hamoshel B'chala Shaloi. He was the one that was the owner of everything that Avraham Avinu had. What does it mean that he was the owner that everything has? So now we can understand, because he was an Eved Ivri to Avraham Avinu, and we're learning that an Eved Ivri is supposed to be treated even better than the owner himself treats himself. That's why he was called Hamoshel Shaloi. So I indeed saw that many Mefarshim ask, going back to the question that we mentioned earlier, that the Gemara in Bamsia says Kitoiv Le'imach, that you have to take care of your Chayecha Koydmin. So why over here do we have to give to the Eved before I give to myself? So Marit says, and the Gemara Masechta Bamsia refers to a situation that two people traveling on the road, and one person has a cup of water, and it's not enough water to share. That the halacha is you give that water to yourself, because if there's only enough, you chayecha koyim, you take it for yourself. So why, in our Gemara, asked the Marit, is the halacha not the same? Take care of yourself before you give to the Eved. So he says a beautiful pasuk, a beautiful pshat. He says these two people are traveling together. Both of them have a mutual obligation to take care of the other. Since they have a mutual obligation to take care of the other, so when the person with the water has water, he's supposed to offer that water to the companion with whom he is traveling. Then when that companion gets the water, he's supposed to offer it back to the other person. And this goes back and forth. And therefore the Torah says, what are we going to do here? So the halacha is, Chayecha Koydmin, you come first. However, the Adon, in our Gemara, says the Marit, the owner has an obligation to take care of the Eved. The Eved has no obligation to take care of the Adon. So the owner offers whatever he's offering to the Eved, and the Eved doesn't have an obligation to say, well, you take it. That's why the Eved should get it. Rameya Shapiro, in explaining this Gemara, he says that when we look at the halachas in the Torah, they're divided into different categories. We have the mishpatim, which are the halacha that we could all understand, and the chukim are the halachas that we can't understand. So he says that if we look at this halacha that we're learning in our Gemara, the kala kaina eved kilu kana adam la'atzmai, the halacha is that you have to take care of your Eved more than you have to take care of yourself. So he says, the Torah says, the parsha in the Torah that speaks about Eved Ivri is Parshas Mishpatim. And that parsha begins with the words, Ve'ela ha-mishpatim ashatasim lefneim. So explains Rameh Shapiro, we just said that mishpatim are rules that we understand. Mishpatim represent the rules that we understand. So he says, how are we to understand the rule that we have to give away what we have rather than give it to the Eved? So we would say it's a chayk. We would say it's a rule that the Torah instituted. We don't need to understand that rule. Says the Torah, the rule that somebody has to take care of someone else, as we just explained, is not to be viewed as a chayk. It's not to be viewed as something that is a rule we don't understand. But rather, he explains, the way we're supposed to understand that rule is if it's mishpatim. In a Jew's mindset, what he's always supposed to think is that taking care of someone else is not a chayk, is not something that I don't understand. It's actually the way I'm supposed to live. Continues the Gemara. Ve'ema, hani mili, when was that said that you have to treat your Eved so properly? Hani mili l'inyan achil v'shtiyah, giving him to eat and drink. Kechdel et starle, we don't want your Eved to suffer by not having what to eat and drink. Hol inyan pidyon, so the Gemara said, just to get back to what the Gemara meant to say. The Gemara said, we could have explained the psukim that are being stricter on how an Eved could redeem himself, or it could be more lenient. We said, from this halacha, we see how nicely the Torah treats an Eved Ivri. Says the Gemara, maybe that's only regarding when it comes that he should have what to eat and drink. We don't want he should suffer. All in your opinion. But when it comes to the concept of Geroin Kesef, maybe Nachmalei, we should be Machmer on him, says the Gemara, Midrash Rabbi Yosef Chanina. Why should we be so strict? The reason we should be so strict is based on what we learned, that the Torah, that how does a person become an Eved Ivri, as we're about to learn, Rabbi Yosef Chanina teaches us, because he did something inappropriate. Says the Gemara, the Tanya of Yosef Chanina Oimah, the Mefarshim explain that often in Shas we have a concept of avak of an avera. There's a concept of avak loshen hara. There's a concept of avak ribis. What does that mean? It's not the primary avera. It's just a secondary application of the avera. Avak loshen hara means when it's not real loshen hara, but it's still osur. Avak shvius is what we're going to talk about now. The primary iser, they explain, of Shemitah is one is not allowed to work the land of Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year. But says the Gemara, Adam Noisav and Noisim Beperi Shvius, but it's also to do business in the Shemitah year, and it's only called Avak, explained the Rishonim, because the Torah doesn't say explicitly that one may not do commerce with Shemitah prayers. The only way we know it is because the Torah says La'achla, and Chazal teach us that l'ochla means l'ochla v'loy l'schayra. So somebody does business, l'soif, what's going to happen is moich matatlov. He's going to have to sell his assets. Shenema, b'shnas ha'yoyev alzeh tu shuva ish l'chuzosoy, v'samach lei v'kis simcha memkel m'sachah konim yad m'escha. Dova konik n'malei aliyad. If somebody does the wrong thing by selling this, he's going to end up, by doing business with Shemitah Paris, he's going to end up having to sell his assets. Loi Hirgish, if he didn't realize that he's doing an Avera, and he should do Tshuva, L'Saif Meichel Sedoysov, he's going to end up selling his properties. Shenem Kiyam Chachicha, or Macha Mechazosai. Loi Bas L'Yadai, if he still didn't do Tshuva, Atche Meichel Space, he even sells his home. Atche Nemar, Kiyim Kabais Meishim Ir Chayma. So ask the Gemara, Mashna Hasam Dasam Lai Hirgish. First, the Gemara, when it wants to express that the person didn't realize he's doing an Avera, the Gemara uses the words Lai Hirgish. Mashna Hacha, when the Gemara wants to express that the person didn't realize that he's doing an Avera, the Gemara expresses itself Lai Bas Liyada. Answers the Gemara of Huna. Damar of Huna, Kimish Adam Avera. Once a person does an Avera, Shanabani, he repeats the Avera, Hutrullah. It becomes mutter. Ask the Gemara, Hotraloi, just because you do an Avera more than once, that means that it becomes mutter. El Nasis loike heter. So at the beginning, you could still maybe easier realize you're doing an Aveira. But once you do an Aveira many times, nas like a heter. So the Shema Shmuel explains, what does it mean, hutrala? He says that hutrala means to untie. He says we are all tied to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But once Chas V'Shalom, we do an Aveira, so hutrala, our special connection that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hutraloi, it becomes unconnected. Reb Baruch Mim Rezhviz explains the Gemara somewhat differently. He says, Adam Aveira Vishono. A person did an Aveira. So after you do an Aveira, you're supposed to feel bad that you did an Aveira. What does this person do? Vishono. He says, I'm going to learn. And he thinks because he's going to open up a sefer, that covers for his Aveira. So therefore the Gemara says, just because you did an Aveira and you learned, then doesn't mean that Aveira goes away. But on the other hand, Demari Emes says, if our Gemara is teaching us that if a person did an Aveira a number of times, it has such, as our Gemara just taught us, such horrible effect. What about the other way around, says Demari Emes? If somebody does a mitzvah many times, somebody learns Torah over and over, somebody does whatever mitzvah over and over, how much more so that has a positive effect on him? Midah Taiva is merubim midah peronius, and how much of a powerful effect it will have on him. Says the Gemara, if after all this, loibas liyada, he still hasn't done tshuva, says the Gemara, at the end, he's going to sell his daughter for a slave. Shenema, as the pasuk continues saying, "V'chi imke ish espitai." V'avga bita like siv b'hag yana. Even though the Torah doesn't mention the daughter in that parasha, hakamashmon nizben inish barte. It's better that a person should sell his daughter for a nizba barisa and not borrow money with interest. My tama, b'if barte migra gar v'nafka. As we're learning over and over, one of the ways you could get Evan Ivri or Amar Vriya out is by deducting the money. So by deducting the money, we're always going to have an opportunity to have her go out sooner or later. But the whole point of interest is interest makes it even worse. By interest, what happens is it keeps on growing. That's why interest, a loan interest, is something that you should always avoid. Lebas liyada, but if he still didn't realize his inappropriate behavior, what happens is Achalov Baribas, he's going to have to borrow money with interest. Shinema. If he still didn't realize that he's doing the wrong thing, until he sells himself. Not only will he be sold to another Jew, El Lager. Shnema, the pasuk says Lager. V'loy Lager Tzedek, who's part of Klal Yisrael, Ella Lager Toshev. He ends up being sold to Ger Toshev. Shnema Lager Toshev. A Ger Toshev is a non-Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he accepted upon himself, there are different explanations. Everybody agrees that he accepted upon himself not to worship Avodah Zarah. Some say what's also included is that he accepted to only eat kosher food. And some say what's included is that he accepted to be careful with all of the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noyach. But he's not Jewish. Mishpach sker. Zeh loiv kechavim. Shoimer. And then the pasuk continues saying, le'ekar mashpach sker, that if he continues on this slippery slope, zeh nimka loiv kechavim atzmai. So, says the Gemara, after this long brisa, what the Gemara means to say is, maybe since this person came to this status that he did all these averis, and because of that he became an Eved Ivri, we should be so lenient with him and helping himself redeem himself. Amalei, so Abai said, Hosam ha-hadri kra. The Torah says that even though he came to such a terrible place, that he had to even sell himself to Avodah Zarah, we find that the Torah still has mercy on him. The Tanya Rishmo, This person became a priest by Avodah Zorah. We should just push him even further. The Torah tells us that we should try to free him. Maybe over there the Torah is trying to get him freed because there's a concern, there's a serious concern that he shouldn't become assimilated with Avdi Kachavim. But when we speak about Pidyon, that we're speaking about an hour shear, says the Gemara, perhaps Nachmalei, we should take a stricter approach based on what Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina just taught us, that this person did an Aveira, and therefore we should be strict with him. Amrav Nachma Yotzchak, Treksi Kroaksiv. The two psukim, when we speak about the Skoroa and Kesef. One pasuk says, Im oid rabbis b'shonim, l'fiyin yoshiv gulosim ekesem eknosoi. V'ksiv, there's another pasuk that says, V'mat nishmer b'shonim. So the question is, how do we understand rabbis b'shonim and ma'at shonim? Ask the Gemara, v'chiyesh shonim merubos, v'yesh shonim otos, is there ever that sold for more or less? Ella, rabbis b'shonis means nesrabakastboi, that he went up in value. Mekesef meknasai means shenetzmat kesnasai, that he went down in value. And the Torah says, kifi shonav yoshev skilasai, that we should always look at that and try to be lenient and helping him redeem himself. But ask the Gemara, who says that's the way to learn the pasuk? Maybe what the pasuk means to say, if he worked for 2 years, he has 4 more years to work, he has to pay him according to the years that he has left. And the other pasuk is talking about when over arba, he worked 4 of the 6 years, he has to pay for 2 years. Because that's all that's left. And the Torah is perhaps only teaching us that we look at how many years left, how many years does he have left to work? Answers Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. If that's what the Torah means, my rabbis b'shonim, to teach us, this rabbi kasper b'shonim, if his value went up, we use the value that he had when he was sold. Nesmat kasboy, if he went down in value, the skabib kasboy shonim, if over the years his value went down, then we look at his kvishonim at his current value. Comments Rabbi Yosef, Om Rabbi Yosef, der shinu Rav Nachman, lahani kroy kesinai. Rav Nachman Yitzchok explained this psukim exactly as they were said by Har Sinai. His explanation was absolutely perfect. Al Gemara said a very interesting point, and that was that the Gemara said that maybe when is the case that we're particularly lenient with the Eved Ivri? It's when a case where he was sold amongst Avdei Kochavim, as the Gemara said, he may be even working in a base of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Torah says maybe there, the Gemara suggests, we have to be particularly lenient to try to get him out before he gets assimilated. And the question that many Paiskim discuss, and that is that if we're going to punish somebody, and by punishing him, we may push him over the edge, and should we take that in consideration of chasing him away and not do the punishment, or we have to do what the halacha is? He says, so the Taz discusses this halacha in Yerideya Simen Shin Lamedalet Sif Katan Aleph, and he says we have to do what the halacha tells us to do, and all of these considerations, as significant of considerations that they are not what the halacha says. And the Chasam Sofer, the Chuvas Chasam Sofer, Evan Ezra Chelik Aleph Simen Lam Hey, Rav Meir Shapiro in the Shas Chuvas Or Hameya Chelik Aleph Simen Ayin Dalid, also take that approach. But not everybody agrees with that approach. And there's a famous story, the Ben Yoyada quotes, a story that happened with the Shalah. The Shalah had a Talmud who was really acting inappropriately. And the Shalah saw that he had no choice, but he expelled him from the yeshiva. Many years later, the shloah came to live in Eretz Yisrael, and the governor of Yafo invited the shloah to rest in his home. He comes to his home, and the governor shows him the beautiful home that he lived in, and the shloah, and all of a sudden, this governor takes out a sword. And he says, I'm going to kill you. The shloah doesn't know what's happening here. And he turns around to him and he says, why are you doing this to me? He says, do you recognize me? He says, no, I don't recognize you. He says, I am that Talmud of yours that you expelled. And after you expelled me, I went down until I converted. And now I'm the governor of Yafo. And the reason I'm doing this to you is because you expelled me. And I know that you're going to be punished in Shemayim for that terrible act. And therefore, I wanted you to get frightened, and perhaps that will save you. So from here we see, says the Ben Yoyada, that maybe he did the wrong thing that he expelled him from that story. So it's impossible to really give a hard and fast rule to what should be done in such a situation. What I sort of Paiskim suggest is that without being able to give a hard and fast rule, what the Paiskim suggest is that there are two things that should always be done. One thing that they say is that one should always be careful and deliberate in making this kind of decision. It's not a decision that can be made easily. One. And another important factor the Paiskim say should be taken into consideration in any such type of a shaila is if not giving the punishment that maybe this person deserves will have a detrimental effect on others. If it's going to have a detrimental effect on others, then there's no question, the Paiskim say, that we can't say, well, by treating this person leniently, maybe we could save him, but what could be the collateral damage for everybody else? Simon Eved Bayis Lachtsoim Bayis Eved Kroivim. Begins the Gemara. The halacha is if somebody sells a sadachuza. A sadachuza is a property that somebody got in Eretz Yisrael as a Yerusha, as inheritance from his forefathers, as the Eretz Yisrael was divided amongst the Shvatim. The halacha is if somebody sells such a property, it goes back to the seller in Yovel. The halacha also is that he always could buy it back only after 2 years after he sold it. And the formula for buying it back is something that we've been speaking a lot. We figure how much was it sold for. We figure for how many years was the sale, because we know that the sale is only effective till Yovel. So the halacha is that if he could pay up that amount, he could buy it back after 2 years. Says, and there's a halacha that you can't buy back, we're going to speak about in our Gemara, can you partially redeem, or is it all or nothing? Says the Gemara, b'mnei Rav Huna b'chinam Rav Sheshes. Every had nimkal avi kachavim, and every that was sold to an avi kachavim, nigal chatzoyim, could he be partially redeemed, or ain't a nigal chatzoyim, or either he could pay himself out or not? Says the Gemara, what is the question? Do we say gulasa gulas mistei chuzas gamar? We learn exer shava from stei chuza. The halacha is that mas stei chuza en a nigel chatzoyim can't be partially redeemed because the pasuk says kidei gulasoi, the entire value has to be redeemed. Af hainami, so too shall we say by every en a nigel chatzoyim. Adilma lekula amrinan. When we compare the halachas of an Eved Ivri to Stei Achuza, we go l'kula, l'chumra lo yaminan. And the Gemara will explain this more in a moment. Amalei, so Rav Sheshes responded, lav amrit hasam. Haven't we said that if somebody stole and he doesn't have the ability to pay back, so the Torah says, v'im ein loy, v'nimkim kenosoy, Nimka Kulai, that he sold for an entire term, 6 years, V'layichem Chetzah. From here we learn that either he could be, if the amount that's needed, you have to sell him for 6 years, then the sale is good, otherwise not. Hachanami, we shall learn, Nigel Kulai V'lay Chetzah, you only can redeem if you can pay it entirely out. Amar Baya, Intim Tzolayim Nigel Chetzoynen, if we're going to say that he is able to be redeemed partially, Meshkach Tzolayim Nigel Chetzoynen, so Baya suggests, by allowing that to happen, we could have a kula or a chumra. And the Gemara explains. The kula, zavna b'meizos, if he was bought for $100, v'yav lechamshin, and now he gave the owner $50, which is palgadadame, half of what he was sold for. Ashkach v'kamal moson, and now he bought himself half out. He was sold for $100, he gave the owner 50, so instead of needing to work for 6 years, he's only going to have to work for 3 years. And now he goes up in value to 200. If we say that partial redemption is satisfied, so he only would have to give now 100 of his, that's the other half of what his current value, for nafik. So the first 50 that he gave was meaningless, and therefore, if he wants to get out, what he gave the 50 was no more than a deposit, and therefore he would have to give now Yav Leimei V'chamshin V'nofik. Ask the Gemara, how could you, Abaye, say that that's what the Gemara means? Haven't we learned so many times in our shiur today, even if he goes up in value, Mekesef Meknosoi, we look at what he was sold with, and his price changes in that is not make a difference. Says the Gemara, I'll tell you where it makes a difference. Kigoyin de Erkoy. When he was sold, he was worth $200. Vizol, and then he went down in value. And then Vaikur, he went back in value. So if we're going to say Nigalach Tsoyim, so whatever money he gave when his price went down will be considered redemption money. So let's say, as the Gemara's example, He gave half of what he was sold with. He gave half of what he's worth at the time that prices dropped. So he'll be free for 3 years. And now he only has to pay the value of 3 more years. If, however, since he wasn't able to give his entire redemption value, what he gave is not more than deposit. And then if Fidao comes to redeem himself, when the price goes up, he's going to have to use that price, and it's equal to what the original price was, that's the price that's going to have to be used for redemption. That's l'kula. Meshkachs l'chuvra, what will be the case? Zovim v'masan, he was sold for 200. And Yav Meir, and he gives 100. Pal g'dami, which is a half of what he was sold for. And then, ichsef, he goes down a value, and all he's worth now is kamal meir. I amrit nigalach tzoyim, so he has to give chamshin. He has to give 50 to go out. However, the mei that he gave wasn't redemption money. And now he could say, take that deposit and use it for me, yavnali, for nafik, and I'll be able to go out. So we learned just a moment ago that the aloch of a stay achuza is that for the first 2 years you can't redeem it. Afterwards you can redeem it, but you can't redeem it. You can't redeem it for lechtzoyim. Moreover, if you didn't redeem it till yovel, it'll come back to yovel. If somebody was magdish estei achuza, he can redeem it forever. But if the treasurer of Hegish sold it, then it doesn't go in the yovel year back to the original owner. It goes to the kohanim who are working that week, the week of yovel in their mishmer. And it doesn't go back to the original owner who was magdashit. Then there's another halacha. A bias be'ir ha'mukafas chayma. Their halacha is that if you sell such a home, you have up to a year to redeem it. If you didn't redeem it within the first year, it becomes the buyer's forever. There's no redemption option, and there's no yovel halacha. If somebody sells a home in a year that doesn't have a wall, you could redeem it forever, immediately till Yovel. And if you didn't, it goes back in the Yovel year. Three different cases. Steyachuza, Bias in an era Mekafes Chayma, and Bias in an era that's not Mekafes Chayma. Ask the Gemara, B'minei Rav Huna, B'chinem Rav Sheshes. Hamaych Bias B'bata Yer Chayma. What is the question? What is the Aloch? Nigalach Tzoyim, Ein Nigalach Tzoyim. And that explains the Gemara. Gulasa Gulasa Mesteyachuza Gomer. Do we learn it from Steyachuza? And just as we just learned, Mastei Chuza Ein in the Golas Lachtzoyim, Af Hei Ein in the Golas Lachtzoyim, Adam Hecha the Goli Goli, with a Torah told us the Aloch of Ein in the Lachtzoyim, that is the Aloch, Hecha the Loi Goli, Loi Goli. Amalei, so Rav Sheshes responds to Rav Huna Bachinina, the Midrash of Shimon, from the Aloch there of Shimon told us, Nishma, we're going to learn, Shalava, if somebody borrowed money from other people, and the Goyal, that he could borrow money in order to pay to redeem a property that he sold in the Bata Irachaima. And the halacha also is that if you sell property in the Bata Irachaima, you could be goyal lechtzayim, you could do partial redemption. How do we know that? The Tanya, the Pasuk says regarding somebody who is Magdish Steyachuza. Vim goyal yigla sasada a Magdish Oysoi. What is the halacha? What is the Torah saying goyal yigla? Malamich love of a goyal. The halacha is that you could borrow money in order to redeem the goyal lechtzayim, and you could do partial redemption. Amar Shem Matam, what is the reason that the Torah said that when you magdish steyachuza, you have these leniency? When the Torah speaks about somebody who sold the steyachuza, the seller has a benefit. What is the benefit that the seller has? Shim higia yovel. If yovel comes v'loy nigel and he never redeemed it, chazal bala b'yovel. He'll take it back in the yovel year. Hura kaychay. That's why the Torah is strict. She'en aloy v'goyel. He can't borrow money in order to redeem v'goyel achtzayim, and he can't partially redeem magdish. Whereas somebody who's magdish a property, shehura kaychay, his position has been weakened. Shemagia yovel v'loy nigel. When yovel comes, and if he didn't redeem it, Yoitzel Kahana B'Yovel. As we said, the Kahana will get it. Therefore, in order to even things out, says the Gemara, Yupa Kaychai, Shlav V'Goyel V'Goyel Lechtzayim. Says the Gemara, now we can learn regarding Amoich Abayis V'Bati Erechayim Anami. Hoyel V'Kaychai, since when somebody sells a property in Darechayim, that the Aloch is, Shemach Mololoi Shana Tamima, if a year passes, and he doesn't buy it back, he doesn't redeem it, Nechlat, it's lost, he'll never get it back even by Yovel. That's why the halacha should be Yupa Kaychai Shalav V'Goyel V'Goyel Lechtzayim. Ask the Gemara, the Torah says V'Mgol Yigal, the Torah speaks about somebody who's Magdish Steyachuza, Melamed Shalav V'Goyel V'Goyel Lechtzayim. Yochel, we can maybe have Sevelay Dinhu, Mamach Steyachuza, Shiyupa Kaychai. That the halacha is Shem Goyel Yovel V'Loi Nigala. When Yovel comes, if he wasn't redeeming it, Chazeres L'Bala B'Yovel, the owner will get it back anyway. Still, the halacha is Hura Koycha Shein Lo V'Goyel. You can't borrow money to redeem, and Ein Goyel Lechtzayim, you can't partially redeem. So Magdish, somebody who is Magdish Steyachuza, Shura Koycha, his position is weak. Shem Gia Yovel V'Loi Nigala. If Yovel comes and he doesn't redeem it, Yoytzel Kain B'Yovel, he won't get it. The Kain will get it. Ein Adin. Shouldn't we argue Shura Kaicha Shein Loiv V'Goyel V'Ein Goyel Lechtzayim? Says the Mar Mal Meiches Steyachuza Shein Ken Hura Kaicha She LeGoyel Miyad. You have to wait 2 years before you could possibly redeem. Time of Magdish Sheyupa Kaicha LeGoyel Miyad. You could redeem it immediately. Of that says the Gemara, Meich Bais Batei Chayim Yomichiyach. Sheyupa Kaicha LeGoyel Miyad. He could redeem right away, and yet the halacha is. So we have here a stira. Rav Sheshe said that somebody who's moicha bais v'batei rechayma can't borrow money and can't partially redeem. And here we said that the Braisa says that that's the halacha. Rav Sheshe said the opposite. Answers the Gemara loikasha. Ha Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who don't explain psukim, they take zeres akos as they are. They say, we see that a moicha bayis b'atei rechayma is in a weaker position than moicha bayis b'steyachuza. And if it's stei chuza, that's the halacha, so too is the halacha of Amai Chabayis. Harav Shimon, Rav Shimon is the one that always explains psukim. If we use logic, there's a strong logic why we, as the Gemara said, why we should be lenient. Because he was so strict that he only has a year. And it says the Gemara, similarly, Tanechad, the life of a guy, lech tzoyim. There's somebody who's Maicha Bayis Bate Chayrma, he could borrow money and could partially redeem. And Tanya Idach, ain't the life of a guy, ain't guy lech tzoyim. How do we reconcile this? Like Kasha, Harabban, and Harab Shimon, the machlokes that we just explained.